Welcome back to Movie Mastery in Theaters Now. I'm your host, John. Over there is Jeff. Together, we watch the movies you send us to go see. And for, well, I guess I now it's last month, but for the other month, the winner of our in-theater poll was Avengers Endgame, which I believe was the winner of everyone's poll for everything last month.
I think it won a whole lot of polls.
So we are, as we always do on this show, going to start out with the non-spoiler review of this. So if you haven't seen it, then don't worry. You can still listen to this for a little bit until we play the music. And then we're going to dive right into it. Now, this is a 3-hour movie, so we're probably not going to do the full play-by-play.
No, and it's just a big old victory lap anyway. I mean, we're just going to be talking about our favorites all the way through.
So, real quick, what would you say is the best spoiler in this movie? No. Okay.
It's when Snape kills Trinity with Rosebud.
So, I would say my spoiler-free review of this is it actually works much better than I would say Infinity War did. Infinity War really felt like an entire movie that was setting up for this. And the other thing is, while the whole 3-hour runtime and everyone being freaking out about having to go to the bathroom or whatever, honestly, it flew by for me.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's an entertaining enough movie that I wasn't sitting there going like, "Ugh, this is taking forever." So
yeah, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you on the first point. I actually liked Infinity War more than Endgame.
Weird.
Although I was not here to discuss Infinity War with the fine people.
Indeed, that was Claire and I.
Yeah, that was Claire. Did that took my spot for that review, thankfully, because I was very busy having a baby.
Yeah, you were just pushing one out.
Just pushing out babies like I do every day. So I wasn't here to tell you all about it, but to me, that's kind of the return. The Empire Strikes Back to this Return of the Jedi. Although I don't dislike this movie in any way, and I don't dislike Return of the Jedi in any way, so please don't read into that. I love Return of the Jedi. I just think Empire Strikes Back is a tiny bit better. And so I loved this film. It was great. The only negative stuff I'm going to say is weird little nitpicks and my standard what horrible people were near me in the theater report.
Yeah, which I do love. I love the what was going on near Jeff in this movie theater report.
We couldn't see this one at the same time, so that meant that John got to have his regular, pleasant, normal experience in the theater, and I got to sit next to a monster.
So, you know, spoiler free, it delivers on a lot of the setup. Basically, anything that you were hoping to see, you probably saw in this movie.
It's honestly kind of crazy that this thing manages to be the culmination of 22 previous movies and still hit all the things that, like, so many of the old things you wanted to see.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff that people are reaching for now, they're like, "Oh, I'm sad this wasn't an Endgame," are such straw grasps. There's a couple of legitimate questions about what isn't in this that could have been, but when people are like, "Well, how come Lady Sif and Ghost from Ant-Man and the Wasp weren't there?" And you're like, calm down.
My dude.
No one was like, "Oh God, please give me more Lady Sif." I mean, they were doing that for like Ragnarok, yes, but come on, we've moved past it.
We've gotten beyond that.
Yeah. Sorry, spoiler alert, I guess. Jamie Alexander does not reprise the role of Sif in this film. And neither does, I forget who played Ghost, reprise the role of Ghost.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be plenty of side characters from things that don't show up.
Yeah. But so many do that it's ridiculous. I mean, there's some side characters. I'm not even sure if you saw them all. I saw one that blew my goddamn mind.
Yeah, so overall, very positive, very good.
I don't even know who we're doing this for. Everyone's already seen this.
Well, I mean, if this shows up on your feed and you haven't seen it yet. Because I know a lot of people that are like, "Oh, I have to stay off the internet for 2 weeks because I can't go see it.
Yeah, there are a lot of people in our Twitter feed that have been like, "Oh, okay, everybody, bye for 2 weeks because I can't see the movie for a while." And I'm like, remember when you didn't give a shit about spoilers? I wonder if it was that you didn't give a shit about spoilers or if you just didn't have as unfettered access to everyone else's constant opinions.
See, that's really more of it for me is that I feel like it's less, people care more about spoilers now than it is there is a constant stream of people talking about whatever to you.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, in my case, I've always been more or less immune to spoilers because I've got the memory of a small goldfish.
Yeah, I mean,
I always forget.
There's also all of those studies that show that being spoiled for a thing doesn't ruin it.
Yeah.
Because if something's good, it's not going to be good because it's like a shocking twist. It's going to be good because it's good.
Yeah, no, that's true. But anyway, it is completely worthwhile. It culminates the film so well. I would say this is still spoiler free. The movie is very much a culmination of the six core Avengers storylines. So if you're hoping to go in this and basically see Captain Marvel 2, you're not going to.
Well, no, this
they're setting her up for a future Avengers movie. Not,
yeah, this is very much the, I mean, we knew at the end of Infinity War, when basically the original Avengers were the only ones left, that we were looking at something that was really going to get to the core of what Avengers is, because that's been the tentpole of this entire series of movies.
Yeah, but it's completely worth seeing. It's an experience. You might as well see it. A movie like this isn't going to happen especially often.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, technically, a Marvel movie happens 2 to 3 times a year.
No, but something like this, like the level of hype and excitement for this,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say since Phantom Menace, we haven't had anything where people were this excited about a movie.
And I'd say this is kind of the second big success for Marvel, because the first one was the first Avengers movie where they kind of proved that they could do it. In 2012, when the first Avengers came out, they were like, we can do this. We can make 5 to 7 movies and then have a sequel to all of them at once.
Yeah.
And people had never seen anything like that before, and it was astonishing. I mean, technically they had, because of the Universal Monster movies of the 30s. But
that wasn't really a tight, coherent universe.
No, that is true. That is very true.
But I am really looking forward to more of that dark universe.
I think they're going to give up on the logo and stuff. I was so disappointed just a couple days ago because I saw an interview with Elizabeth Smith Moss, who'd been cast in the Invisible Man movie, where her only quote was, "I'm not the Invisible Man. Stop asking."
Ah.
Like, they're like, she was like, "No, that's silly. The Invisible Man is a man. Stop." And I was like, "No, you don't have. Doesn't have to be. No one gives a wet fuck about who the Invisible Man is." It's not like he's Batman. No one's going to get mad if he's not Bruce Wayne.
So
go see it. There you go.
Go see it. We both highly recommend it. And we're going to play a little bit of music, and then we will be back with a full spoilerific watch out if you ain't seen it review of Avengers Endgame.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end.
Here it is. We are ready to dive into this end game. There's a lot of ground to cover here.
Mm-hmm. So remember when I mentioned that I saw a character briefly in a flash in this movie that I wasn't even sure if you had seen? Guess?
I don't know.
Howard the Duck.
Oh, really?
Yep, he's in there.
I did not see him.
He comes out with a rifle. He's when all the big portals open up and all the various armies come through, he's in with the Ravagers.
Huh.
Yeah, he's standing behind a big blue Ravager dude, and he's got like a rifle in one hand. So there's Howard.
Howard Easter eggs.
Makes his third appearance in the MCU.
Wow.
First time without Seth Green voicing him. I was really happy to see him, because notably I think that means he's on Earth now. If he wants to stay, I mean, he could probably go back to space back through the port. They don't really cover the denouement of that big super final battle sequence, so we don't know if all those, like, I mean, do the wizards give the Wakandans a ride home again?
I mean, you'd hope that.
Yeah. But that means that if Howard feels like staying on Earth, because shoot, he'd be on a world he never made.
Yeah.
Then that's a thing that can happen.
That is a thing that could happen.
Yeah.
Boy, I cannot wait for that big reveal that Howard the Duck is coming.
I mean, there is technically the next movie that would make sense for him to be in is probably Guardians 3 again.
Yeah.
And especially because James Gunn's the only person who gives a shit about hiding him in the movies. He'll probably have gone back to space and just show up in a bar or something, but still, it was neat to see him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so where do you want to start? The beginning?
I mean, we'll start at the beginning. Like I said, I don't really need to do a play-by-play, but the
opening scene is really good.
It definitely lets you know that this is going to be about sort of the emotional struggle of dealing with the loss that happened at the end of Infinity War, when we open with Hawkeye and his family and him just losing everything.
Yeah, he's out at his ranch. It really draws a fun parallel to, you know, how both him and Scott were the two who got put on, like...
Yeah, the house arrest.
House arrest, where Scott lives in a San Francisco bungalow, and so his house arrest is like a 50-square-foot postage stamp, where Hawkeye lives in this giant ranch so he can just go where the fuck ever.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm under house arrest. Of course, my house is 12 acres, so meh.
Yeah, that was my first thought when I saw him. I was like, God damn, how'd he get so much freedom? I remember what Scott had to go through. Oh, he just owns a huge amount of land.
Yeah. But yeah, having that, and of course, the one thing I'll talk about there is this a setup for like the Kate Bishop-esque Hawkeye with his daughter?
There's a Disney Plus Hawkeye show in the works where he does train at Protégé. It's just called Hawkeye or something, so we don't know if it's going to be Kate Bishop or if it's going to be Hawkeye's daughter, who I think was named like Jane or something. So we have no way of knowing if it is or not. If it is, she's not a good enough archer. She's already like 14 and she's still learning basics.
Hey man, she got a bullseye.
Yeah, sure. But Kate Bishop is as good or better than Hawkeye.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that. I think they might want to go with someone else.
But that, I mean, honestly, this movie set up a lot of little teasers for a young Avengers movie, and yeah. I want it
and
bad.
I want Kate Bishop to be Kate Bishop and not Hawkeye's daughter, because Hawkeye's daughter grew up on a weird ranch in Montana or something, and Kate Bishop is like circus people trained. So that gives her, it's like Circus of Crime trained or some nonsense, so that gives
and
her a
she's,
lot.
She's the Robin of the young Avengers.
Yeah, she really is, and it gives her a lot of fun shit for when she has a main story. So I want her to have that.
All right.
Yeah, so anyway, his family gets dusted to, what was that, a cover of a Leonard Cohen song, probably?
I don't know.
If not, then it should have been. Yeah.
So then, of course, we've got picking up pretty much right after the loss, where everyone's like, we got to go fuck up Thanos.
I love that their whole thing with Thanos is just, fuck him. Let's go kill him. Fuck it.
Let's go fuck this dude up.
I mean, we get a lot of stuff in that scene. We learn pretty quickly that that Black Widow has kind of gone off the deep end and become work obsessed, because she didn't have all that much of a strong grasp on her guilt complexes before half the world died right in front of her. So she's having a tough time.
Well, I mean,
And we get a little, lineup.
Yeah, I mean, we get Thor in there being all sad. We get Captain Marvel shows up.
Well, she isn't even in the room. It's hilarious. They do a whole thing where they do a lineup of holograms of Avengers. Like Thor and Nat are the only people who are actually in the room for the conversation. But we get basically a list of who's alive. And then all of them excuse themselves for the duration of the film. Except Rocket. Rocket's still hanging.
Hanging and banging.
Rocket's around. But basically, of the people in the lineup, it's Rocket and Rhodey. But then also Okoye, who's just like, oh, there was an earthquake underwater pretty close to like China or something. And Nat was like, well, what are you going to do about it? And she was like, it's an earthquake. We're not going to do anything about it. We didn't respond to earthquakes before the snap. And Captain Marvel shows off the one bit of character development she's going to receive this film. Two bits, I guess. Cool new haircut and
not yet.
Yeah.
She doesn't get her cool new haircut until after.
I thought that was this scene. I thought that was the scene where Rob... Well, anyway, eventually during the movie, she gets her pixie cut and she gets her sash.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much the main things that Captain Marvel does this movie.
So, man, they get to go out to space and... Do they rescue?
Well, we get Stark in space before they rescue.
Yeah,
him.
I was gonna say. Yeah. Is the first thing they do go to Thanos or go to Stark?
They go to Stark because Stark's there when they get Thanos.
Is he?
Oh wait, no,
he isn't.
He wants no part of it. That's right. Then I don't remember that specific order. The reason I thought Stark was there is because Ruffalo's there in the Hulkbuster.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. There's so many things happening.
There's a lot of stuff, but we get...
Anyway, thanks for listening.
Pretty much the Stark business that we got from the trailer, but expanded upon, so him just being real sad and ready for death.
Playing paper football with Nebula.
It's been 22 days since the snap, and he's just running out of everything on this.
And if I can say, Nebula is far and away the breakout... I know she's already been in two other movies. She is far and away the breakout character of this.
She gets so much more business now.
She gets a tremendous amount of business throughout the course of the film, and she is so good in this.
Yeah, Karen Gillan.
Yeah, so Karen Gillan is mad about kicking little field goals with paper footballs, but then she wants to keep learning it, and she's keeping Tony alive because she's a cyborg, so she'll stay alive longer than him anyway.
Yeah, the entire thing is just sort of very depressing.
Mm-hmm.
But they get saved by Captain Marvel.
Yeah, in the first one of the big nitpick questions that the internet has for the film, which is how did she know where they were? Like, she just seems to show up where they are. I'm not worried about this one. As far as nitpicks go, I was like, this isn't a big deal. Rocket probably has a GPS for the Benatar.
Yeah.
And he just gave it to her and was like, here, go check and see if any of the Guardians are on my ship.
Yeah.
It's weird that they haven't shown up yet.
So... Yeah, the assassination attempt on Thanos, which successful, but the that final bit where they go up there and they're like, all right, let's fucking get Thanos. And he's like, no, I don't give a shit, man.
And everyone's into it. Captain Marvel is, Captain Marvel's into it, yes. But Captain America is like, yeah, let's go fucking get him. Screw this guy.
Let's fuck this dude up.
Yeah, let's go kill Thanos. God damn.
It's almost a month and everything's fucked.
It's Marvel who leads the charge. Carol's just like, all right, I'm here. I'm here on the planet with you guys. Fine. What are you going to do here? I'm going to go kill Thanos. Excuse me. But yeah, they find him on his farm planet and he's all kinds of fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, they only find him because there was a large burst of energy like they hadn't seen since the snap of the Infinity Stones. So they're like, oh, we finally know where he is because of this energy burst.
Yes. And they go and see him and they're like, what the hell was the energy burst you did 2 days ago, you dickhead? And he's like, I used the stones to destroy the stones.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure that no one could undo what I did. Ha ha. Get fucked.
And then he says one of those Thanos lines that has to be something from the comics where he's like, I am Thanos. I am inevitable. Yeah. I did it for death. I'm in love with death. Have you seen Death's rockin' tits? Anyway, they do, in fact. Well, first they cut the gauntlet right off him.
Yeah.
And then Thor ends the conversation in the middle of it and just cuts his head off. He's trying to be nice to Nebula, and he's just, that. Now we know Iron Man's there because Nebula's there for him to talk to. Yeah. He's like, daughter, perhaps I was too harsh on you. And that those are his last words before his head comes off.
Yeah.
And that means Nebula's there, and that means Iron Man.
Well, Iron Man isn't there. He's isn't in there, the hospital.
But he did get rescued first.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. So anyway, they cut his head off, but that doesn't do anything.
No. In fact, we cut to 5 years later.
Yep. With a really, really slow review. The letters, when you're wondering why this movie is 3 hours long, a large part of it is 5 years.
Earlier?
Sideways? So yeah, 5 years go by. And what happens over the course of 5 years?
A bunch of weird shit.
Yeah.
I don't know why there are so many goddamn boats around the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, so apparently the world reacts by becoming kind of a post-apocalypse world. Although, let's be real here. There's about 6.8 billion people on the planet. You cut them in half, you got 3.4 billion people. That's the population of the Earth in 1970. It's not like Wrigley Stadium was abandoned in 1970. They were playing baseball games in it. But yeah, a lot of people just, I guess, stole the dead rich people's boats and went to go live in huddled squalor around the Statue of Liberty.
It's very weird. Because it all looks like transport ships.
It's a weird mix, is the thing. There's a lot of, like, Mad Maxy and, oh my god, the world has been abandoned. So you, like, you see San Francisco and there's just cars on the street where people who were driving the car dusted right out of existence and no one's moved the car since then.
Yeah.
But by the same token, someone put Ant-Man's van into storage for him, even though his whole extended Ant-Man universe got dusted as far as we know. And also in San Francisco, someone took the time to build a huge amount of giant marble monuments to the dead. So we're doing some stuff, but leave another. It's almost like they wanted to leave a little veneer of Mad Maxiness.
Well, yeah, because they're like, okay, after the snap, we have to show that shit got really fucked up. And I think a lot of the, like, the cars in the streets or things like that is really coming from people not being able to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. I find it weird that they had an easy time getting a van off a roof, but not, and specifically it was only on that roof because that's the building that shrinks and grows.
Yes.
So how the hell they got it down from there is a weird, interesting mystery.
Oh, they shrunk it.
They none of them can shrink the building. Everyone who knows how to shrink is either in the quantum realm or dusted.
That's not true. We don't know what happened to Goliath.
I was going to say, what's up with Bill Foster? Actually, I have a theory that he is in the final battle. Because there's a timing error in the filming a sequence of the final battle. I like to correct it in my head by thinking that Goliath shows up. But anyway, I'm just saying it's an interesting mix. Like, New York's harbor is completely full of, like, huddled refugee boats, which is weird because why would anyone be refugeeing anywhere? Who's out of space? There's twice as much space. But
no, that was the one thing because, again, it's not like it's personal ships, like, oh, this is some dude's boat. Mm-hmm. It was like, what is this? Oh, these are, like, transport ships for cargo.
Yeah. It was also a lot of yachts in there. And then when you first see Cap coming in and talking about how the 5 years have gone by, he's like, hey, I just saw a pod of whales in the Hudson because there's, you know, less pollution and less ships. And I was like, no, we just saw this. The harbor's completely full of ships, Cap. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, the harbor is.
Yeah, I guess the Hudson isn't, so there's whales in it.
Weird
place for whales, but sure, whatever.
But I think it's important thematically that it starts with Cap just at a support group.
The most saddest scene, and I mean sad in terms of why did you do this?
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
No, but the same thing was starting on Hawkeye for the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Starting on Cap in the support group is very much why you see vans and shit on the side of the road. Because people are like, yeah, I can still go to a job, but what does it fucking matter? Like, I just found out that there is a cosmic being that destroyed half of the people on Earth. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, sure. I can see that a lot of people would have abandoned their posts. And he's basically talking through a support group with a bunch of people who are like, hey, let's try and find reasons to go on.
Yeah, I mean,
and it almost entirely culminates in one of the directors of the movie.
Yep.
Joe Russo playing a man who went on his first date with another man recently. And that conversation almost entirely exists. They could be like, fine, see, we're not afraid of gay people. We'll put gay people in the Marvel movies. You know, we'll have a straight guy who's also in the crew anyway play one, I guess, even though he's not. Like, and he doesn't have superpowers or nothing, and he's in the movie for 4 seconds.
Yeah.
But we did it, so you can't say we didn't.
Well, that's why I'm really looking forward to them getting all that X-Men license so we can get, like, big gay North Star and give me a gay Colossus.
I mean, they'll have to do the Ultimates version, but why not? That's the Ultimate Nick Fury.
Eh.
Yeah. So it's A-OK by me if they want to put in some gay X-Men. I mean, they've already said that they're probably going to do a gay lead in the Eternals movie, which I'm really curious to see how that even works.
Man, I'm really worried about that. Like, that's what I don't know about.
So anyway, yeah, we see that Cap is still trying to find ways to be Captain America. In this case, he's leading just an ordinary support group, which he is doing in uniform. And he goes back to see Nat, who's even sadder.
Well, yeah, because 5 years, she has just buried herself in trying to essentially save the world.
Yeah, and she's talking to Okoye, who's like, hey, we just picked up definite examples of Barton killing his way across Saudi Arabia. It's definitely him. He's definitely murdering a bunch of people.
Yeah, he murdered a whole Mexican cartel.
Yeah, so I'm afraid to go find him, honestly, but I feel like you probably want to have the updates of where he is.
Yeah.
So we know something's going on with Hawkeye. I'm not sure, we aren't sure what yet, but something bad.
And the the Cap and Widow scene here of them just being like, yeah, I have no idea what the fuck to do. Like, it is amazing that they really spend a lot of time at this beginning part of the movie lingering on, like, the heroes don't have a plan. They don't have anything to do. There isn't a, like, oh, yeah, and, well, you know, we may have lost, but we picked ourselves back up, and now we're doing whatever. They're just kind of like, I don't know, I'm lost.
Yeah, I mean, technically, 5 years have gone by, which probably is 5 years where new supervillains showed up and we're doing supervillaining. It seems like they're just bored.
Well, I mean, what new supervillain is going to show up after half the population dies? At that point, you're just kind of like, man, what do I care?
I don't know, like an opportunistic one. I don't, someone who's like, hey, finally, my chance has come. I mean, I honestly, I've been very curious about this, like, just sort of as a curiosity note. Which supervillains that are still alive did and didn't get dusted? Like, did Mordo get dusted?
It would be interesting if he did.
Yeah. I mean, if he got dusted, he'd come back and be like, okay, that's, I hate wizards. What happened? A wizard saved everybody. I hate wizards.
Well, no, because this whole movie is about time shenanigans. He's like, that was my whole reason for hating wizards.
Yeah, except that it was the wizard's plan. Like, Abomination, what's going on with him? We know he's still kicking around. He's at some Arctic storage facility. What if he didn't get dusted, but his guards did? He's just Emil Blonsky running around, abominationing everywhere.
Well, I mean, that's assuming he can get out.
That's true. We don't know
He may have just starved to death and now is dead.
Yeah, it could be that. That could be the end of Emil Blonsky. Anyway, so they're settling in from fatigue because they can't figure out how to get past the bad vibes. Meanwhile, in one of the most controversial scenes in the film, even though I think it's just fine, in a storage center somewhere in San Francisco,
the biggest hero of this movie shows up.
A rat.
a rat crawls over the control panel on the van and unleashes Ant-Man from his 5 years in the subatomic universe.
Mm-hmm. Which for him was only 5 hours.
But it is entirely likely that had this rat not existed, none of this would have happened.
Everyone's real mad about this rat.
I don't know why. I'm like, whatever. It's comic books. Contrivances are a thing. It's fine.
I mean, would they have been happier if it had just been some kid who went up on that roof and was like, ooh, need a van with a bunch of glowing buttons. Beep, beep, boop, boop. Ant-Man comes out.
Or, like, get Ken Jeong to just go in there and be like, I'm going to fuck around with this thing in storage because I'm the storage guy.
Oh, yeah, that could work. You could also have it that Luis didn't get snapped, and he spent 5 years trying to figure out how to press those buttons so that it makes Ant-Man come out of there.
Yeah.
But ultimately, this was a fast way to do it.
Yeah. And then we get a lot of business of Scott walking around San Francisco being like, what the fuck happened? Because he has no idea.
This is easily the most Mad Max-y scene in the movie because he comes across some boy who's just slowly riding his bike down a street full of cars that are just parked in the middle of the road. And he's like, you there, boy, what day is it?
'Tis Christmas Day.
He's like, what happened, kid? And the kid just kind of goes a slow look at him, look away, start riding his bike again. And I was like, in the very next scene in this movie, we're going to see a bunch of happy kids ask Hulk for a selfie. Like, it's weird that this one kid's the one who's like, no, I have a darker path. I'm Moon Knight.
Hey, man.
I mean, it affects everybody differently.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this kid's parents got dusted.
Yeah.
And the two kids in the diner were like, oh, nothing happened to us.
We got super lucky. But anyway, yeah, he goes wandering through this weird, abandoned, overgrown San Francisco and then comes across a very tasteful monument to the dead, yeah. which has been erected since then, because that's what they put all their reconstruction budget towards, was building this fancy statue thing.
And he's looking for names for his family and finds his own name on there.
Yeah, so he knows he's been dusted. Presumably one of the many, many people at this monument was willing to fill him in on whatever happened. Because the little boy didn't, the kid on the bike wouldn't do it, but I'm sure one of these random people at the sad memorial would be like, oh yeah, so basically it's been five. Hi, Ant-Man. You're in uniform. Everyone in San Francisco knows Ant-Man. But he doesn't see Cassie Lang's name on it, so he knows his daughter's still kicking around, and he runs to go find her.
Yeah, and it's also super important because he sees his own name, and he's like, oh shit, she thinks I've been dead for 5 years.
Yeah, and then he goes and sees her, and there's no mention of whether she's been living completely alone or if the step-parents are still kicking around.
Yeah, we don't know.
Or her mom and stepdad, rather. But that's really not important.
No.
It is an interesting thought to think that, okay, she was like 12 when this happened. Did she survive 5 years as an isolated 12-year-old, or was she doing okay because she had other family members around?
Yeah, I mean,
interesting question.
You'd have to assume that not everyone around Scott Lang got dusted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if Louise did, the rest of the ex-con crew wouldn't.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Did you read that the dude, one of the ex-con crew dudes, I think his name is David Dastalmatian, was recently cast by James Gunn in the Suicide Squad movie? He's the one, the Russian one.
Uh-huh.
And he was cast as Polka Dot Man.
Wowzers.
Yeah, so good for him.
Anyway, so we get a nice little tearful reunion there.
Yeah, it doesn't lead to much. I was really kind of hoping for, this is basically a setup for Young Avengers.
Yeah, it's more Young Avengers stuff because yeah. Cassie can be Stature now.
And yeah, or if she wants to be, they want to do the alternate Cassie that can make her, I think it's Red Queen.
Meh.
Oh, no, wait, that's Hope Pym. Never mind.
No way.
Okay, so anyway, that's the end of his scene, but then he just shows up outside the Venture Compound in the van. So I guess he drove the van from San Francisco to DC or upstate New York over the course of the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's dumb. That makes perfect sense. That's the kind of thing he would do.
Yep.
After all, he has to conserve his Pym particles, so it's not like he can fly over there on an ant.
No, and, you know, I'm sure he's probably got some issues with getting a flight. I mean, he's dead.
Yeah, he's technically dead. There are so many questions about the legal status of the deceased and the dusted in this movie that are just best glossed over.
Yeah, there's a lot of, but what happens when in this movie?
There's a scene where after the snap is unsnapped, spoiler alert, Hawkeye gets a phone call with with caller ID from his wife, which suggests that he's been paying her cell phone bill for the past 5 years. It's just, there's so many little questions that are like, oh, what about people who remarried? What about people who were in boats when it happened and the boats aren't where they are anymore? Like,
do they appear on the boat because they're tied to the boat, or do they appear in the location because they're tied to the location?
Yeah, or if they were in airplanes, geez, that's not good. I know.
Are they now just going to show up in the airplane? What if that airplane is still flying right now?
What if the pilot got dusted? Like, because that means the airplane crashed and they're going to show up where the crash is and it's at the bottom of the ocean. That's not fun. There's so many questions about what happens to the dusted when they come back, which are just best comic book waved.
Well, I mean, when Hulk does it, you have to imagine that he's controlling it, and he's not like, yeah, bring the dusted back, and the gauntlet itself is like, I'm a capricious genie! I'll do the letter of the law! He can just be like, bring the dusted back, also make sure they're safe.
I guess that seems reasonable. All right, well, anyway, we should probably push forward, because there's so much more movie. He shows up, and he's like, hey, guys, also, I have a wacky idea. It's called time travel.
Yeah, and
He has to have a conversation. This is when we get the big reveal for Hulk in the movie, when we their Hulk bit, which is that Hulk has spent 18 months in a gamma radiation lab test center, like enclosure, learning to combine himself into Green Smart Hulk.
Yeah, we get Professor Hulk from the comics, which, you know, that's fine. I was kind of wondering if they were going to do that, and it's interesting to me that we got that before we got Mr. Fix-It, but, you know.
Well, Mr. Fix-It's really not, I mean, I would love to see the Hulk in a suit, too, but he's really not all that useful of a character for a movie where he's not the main character.
No, I would assume that if they were going to continue Ruffalo, that a Mr. Fix-It would be a neat way to go.
I was a little disappointed, if I'm honest, that when he gets a gauntlet on at one point and basically unsnaps the snap, that it didn't turn him gray. I was really kind of hoping he'd be, he just fucks up his arm. I was kind of hoping that from that point forward, he'd be Gray Hulk, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. Really, the only real complaint, one of my core little nitpicks in the movie is the last time we saw Hulk at all was in Endgame, getting the shit beaten out of him by Thanos, and I was really hoping for a little retribution. And when the final confrontation at the end of the movie with Thanos occurs, Hulk is off doing other stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all right. It's fine.
He is not part of the group that gets to, like, actually fight Thanos.
Yeah. But anyway, he's smart now. So over a huge dish of pancakes and crepes and stuff and some selfies with some kids, he has a conversation with Scott, who's like, hey, man, you're super smart. Invent time travel. And he's like, that's silly. That's not even if that was a thing that could happen, that's not my area of specific expertise.
Yeah. You're going to need, you know, an actual physicist.
You're going to need Iron Man, who last I checked is an engineer, but sure, why not? He's a physicist.
He's both. He's whatever he wants to be. Iron Man.
He's all the things.
But Iron Man is basically taking a pudge. A pudge?
He's taking a pudge.
Sorry, guys. You can come back in 5 minutes. I'm taking a wicked pudge. Taking a page out of Hawkeye's book and just went and found some nice little, like, cabin out in the woods somewhere where he has Pepper and a daughter.
Morgan Stark, named after his weird uncle, who I have to assume is a reference to Morgan Edge.
No, man. There is a Morgan Stark in the comics. It's his, I want to say, cousin?
Oh, okay.
Or something. But also, I think there's some other reason it's Morgan. Oh, he says that in Infinity War when he has the dream about having
named after your weird cousin or something.
Yeah.
He wants to name the kid Morgan. Yeah. So anyway, he's given up on the hero life. And in fact, he's mad at the notion that he should ever return to it. He can't think of a good reason to do so.
He's like, look, I got everything. I won as far as Infinity War is concerned.
Yeah, because
I lived and Pepper lived. So yeah, we're fine.
And we don't want to undo it because we have a kid. So, you know, fuck along with your dumb time travel theory.
Yeah.
So they go out to meet him at his place, and that's basically what he's like. He's like, hey, no.
Not off.
It's revealed, you know, in sidelines that he's building Iron Man armor for Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
But that's as far as, and then they indeed fuck along.
Yeah. And we get a fun scene of them trying to do time travel with the Hulk in charge, which basically just ages and de-ages Scott.
Hey, that's still really, really impressive for a guy who's like, I can't invent time travel. I can age and de-age you, I guess.
Well, yeah, he has access to the quantum realm and they're fucking around, but he's like, Stark says later that they're moving time around Scott and then instead of Scott around time. And I was like, that's an interesting idea.
I love the idea, but the thing I really like is that means that Hulk accidentally invented immortality.
Yeah.
And it's not even really a part of the movie.
Well, at that point, I mean, spoilers for the very end of the movie, but when Captain America comes back and he's like, I'm old now, Hulk could just be like, hold on, put on this suit. No, you're not.
He can't quite do it. But luckily, this is just like any other Iron Man situation. They leave a bug in his head that's like, hey, man, can you invent time travel?
And he's like, fuck, yes. Let's see if I can.
So he just stays at home and invents time travel. And then he has to have the conversation with Pepper, who has been, for poor Pepper, for like six movies in a row, has had to just be the don't be a superhero downer.
Uh-huh.
Every time we talk to her, she's just like, Tony, quit superheroing. she basically has to play the stereotypical Irish cop's wife movie after movie. And this is where she finally does the thing where she's like, you're a good husband, Mr. Stark, but you're an even better cop. So she's like, no, go fix the universe. It's what you do. Jeez.
Look, like countless trillions of people died. Maybe get over your shit.
Yeah. This is she finally gets to have a speech where she does be like, don't do superhero business.
Yeah.
So he fixes time travel, goes out, and then he drives from wherever the fuck he is to
the Avengers compound.
Doesn't just get in his iron suit and fly there. He drives there so that we can see, I want to say, the fifth shot of Tony Stark driving a cool Audi since we started doing
hey, man.
Movies. Got to make that money in your billion-dollar movie, I guess.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
Well, he also had to take a car because he's got a bunch of shit in the trunk.
That's true. He has the shield, for example.
Yeah.
He finally gives Cap back the shield, which he hasn't had for quite a long time.
Indeed.
Cap is shaved, too, by the way, in case you were curious.
In case you were wondering if the beard is gone, and I don't know, that's the spoiler you were wondering about.
He loses the beard. The awesome beard is gone.
I mean, we know that because that was in the previews, but whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't watch any previews.
By the way, somewhere around this point, we get a second talk with Captain Marvel, and she's got the pixie haircut, which Rocket makes fun of. And also, she's like, hey, I'm going to be helping every other planet in the galaxy because they all got snapped, you know, so you probably won't see me for a very long time.
Well, yeah, when fucking Widow's like, oh, but we need you down here doing whatever. It's like, look, I'm dealing with literally every other planet. You can handle Earth.
I'll tell you, the one thing that leaves me a little conflicted about is I know that they've been talking, both Brie Larson and Kevin Feige, and I think the director of Captain Marvel have all been saying that they want to do Kamala Harris in Cap 2,
uh-huh,
or Marvel 2. And the longer they keep her off Earth, the harder it's going to be to sell that she's inspiring to young girls everywhere on the on Earth. So I'm curious how they're going to course correct on that. But anyway, yeah, so she's just like, hey, you won't see me till the final battle. Bye. And Okoye gives a similar excuse.
Yeah. I'm going to go take care of Wakanda. Bye.
But then they have their time travel conversation. They're like, all right, well, how do we get the stones back? And Stark's like, all right, well, hear me out. There are certain points in time where multiple stones are in single locations. In fact, there's a brief period in 2012 where three of the stones at once are in New York.
Yeah.
That isn't necessarily completely accurate. They don't know where the hell the time stone is in 2012. They just got lucky that
that Doctor Strange was still the Sorcerer Supreme back then because they don't know anything about
it. Yeah, they don't know about it. And they don't know about the fact that house is three houses and three different locations and blibbity blabbity.
But they're just like, oh, that's where Strange lives, so obviously he'll be there.
Yeah. Now, they didn't quite do their math 100% right because they could have also, there was a point where there were two stones in Asgard. They could have gone and gotten both of those. I think there's maybe even a point where three stones were in Asgard. Anyway, this is what's going to happen. They are going to time travel and they're going to go to the following three movies: Avengers, Thor 2, The Dark World, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And I guess also Guardians of the, or Infinity War. So the following four movies.
So we got to get the band back together.
Yeah, we have to do that. That's right.
And so they get, you know, all the standard people you would get. And then the hard one to get back is Thor. Now,
well, yeah, they get Hawkeye is the other one who's, but well, yeah. Do Thor, I'll do Hawkeye.
So Thor is one of the more contentious ones in this movie because, you know, you've got Fat Thor in this and people were kind of pissed off that they were like, oh, you're just making fun of fat people or whatever.
I mean, there is a point where they say that he has cheese whiz coursing through his veins.
And I get it. I understand that. But also, I think they could have been a little more serious because the whole point with Thor at this junction is he's lost basically more than anyone else. He's seen both of his parents die, his brother die. He's had all of his friends die. He had his home get blown up. He lost an eye. He blames himself for the snap happening because he wasn't able to stop Thanos. Like, he is fucked up at this point.
Yeah. Now, I really want to talk about where he is.
Oh, he's in New Asgard, a small town in Norway.
Did you recognize, when they drive past the sign for the small town in Norway, did you recognize the name of the city they're in? Because New Asgard was built out of an old city.
Oh.
Tonberg. I don't know if you know it. This is a real deep cut for the movie. Tonberg has been the location of two scenes in previous Marvel movies.
Well, it's the place where the vision of Odin says,
sure,
this could be New Asgard.
That makes it
this could be Asgard.
That actually makes it three scenes in previous Marvel movies.
Oh, there you go.
In the first Thor movie, they show a scene of the gods coming down to Earth and fighting frost giants.
Uh-huh.
Tonberg.
Okay.
And in the first Captain America movie, that's where the Tesseract is hidden.
Hmm.
When they go and blow up that wall of the church to get the Tesseract out of it, Tonberg.
Huh.
It's just a fun little, they just keep going back to this one little town in Norway.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So we go to New Asgard, where Valkyrie, if you're wondering if she's back in the movie, she is. She's a fisherman now.
Yeah, basically all of the, like, very few surviving Asgardians are just sort of living humble fisherman life.
Let's assume that Sif died off screen at some point and not from the snap, because she's not here. But Korg and Meek are back.
Yep, they're hanging out in Thor's place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they won't come along for the adventure, but
no, they show up at the final battle.
Yeah, but they're not going to come along for the adventure.
No, they will not. And still voiced by Taika Waititi, which is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's gotten fat, which is, let's be honest, it looks ridiculous. They put a fat suit on him, and they couldn't come up with a way to make his arm arms not look super Chris Hemsworth jacked. So he looks ridiculous. I didn't like that they bothered with the fat thing. I think they should have just had his hair out.
I mean,
because the fat suit looks awful.
No, it does. They should have just not had him be like shirtless.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to be like, oh, we're going to do this where he's just sort of let himself go,
mm-hmm.
put him in clothes and make him look a little bigger, that's fine. All of the complaints about that, I was like, well, I mean, it makes sense. He's got just ridiculous, crippling depression at this point.
Yeah, but the effects are probably the worst effects in the movie.
Yeah.
And this is a high effects movie. So when you're like, there's a lot of Pegasus battle stuff happening in the end of this film. But the part that's unbelievable is the fat suit they put on Thor.
The part that is unbelievable of this movie is Chris Hemsworth being fat.
Yes, that part makes no visual sense. Also, his beard's all ugly and scraggly, and he's a drunk. He's completely always drunk all the time.
Yeah.
So they're going to send the following teams out. They basically try to send people to places where they were, or at least with a helper. So Captain America, America, Iron Man, Hulk, and Ant-Man are all going to go to the
first Avengers
movie. The first Avengers movie and try to recover three of the stones. I think it's space, time, and
mind. Because they've got the scepter, the tesseract, and then
the time
going
stone.
To time stone from the eye.
The reality stone has only been in a couple of movies, and they can't go take it from the collector. So they're going to go to Thor 2 before it goes to the collector and steal it from Natalie Portman's butt.
Yeah. So Thor and Rocket get to go to Thor 2.
Uh-huh. Which is hilarious that they make reference to Thor 2 at all.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
they're like, this is just the worst Marvel movie, and that's what we're going to do. I think they wanted to go back and be like, hey, guys, we're sorry about Thor 2.
Well, it sets up one of the best reclaimings of a character in the film.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Thor's mom showing up and being
Frigga
like,
coming back and being like, hey. I'm going to actually be a character instead of just sidelined.
Yeah.
I have more lines in this movie than I did in every other movie I'm in.
Yeah, so Frigga shows up and has a lot of good things to say, and I mean, she's like, hey, are you okay? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, no, you're not. I was raised by witches. You're not even supposed to be in this reality.
You are from another time.
Yeah. Also, he collects a spare Mjolnir while he's there.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Why not?
There's one in that timeline.
Hey.
We also get a huge conversation with Hulk and Ant-Man and so on about how time travel works in this story. It's a lot of don't worry about it. It's basically like, hey, you can't affect the future with what you do in the past.
There's a lot of time travel business in this.
But I like that as a sort of quit asking about it.
But it's not, because they're like, oh, does it work like Back to the Future or whatever? And he's like, oh, no, you can't affect the past because it'll be your future or whatever, whatever. But then they do anyway. I'm like, ah, you set up this whole thing where like, oh, you can't affect the past. That won't change anything. And you're like, yeah, but they do.
Well, they don't. Thanos does.
Oh, man, they do.
Which one thing do they change that affects the present timeline of the 2019 Avengers 4 movie?
Loki's alive.
He never shows up and does anything. It's not like he shows up in the final battle and is like, hello, I'm alive. He just vanishes out of a different timeline and is stuck in a different timeline. Because basically, in Avengers 2012, the way it all breaks down is the Mind Stone isn't all that complicated to get, so they get it.
Cap has to fight Cap
in
order to get the staff.
Yes.
And we have a callback to the elevator scene of Winter Soldier, which is amazing, but then also a lamp shading of the Cap saying Hail Hydra from the comics that everyone fucking hated.
Yeah.
And he says it here as a way to get the stone from the Hydra guys.
In probably the most impressive a bit of stunt casting in the movie, they managed to get Robert Redford out of retirement back for a couple of lines.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I mean, Natalie Portman shows up in this movie for like 8 seconds with new footage, just kind of like,
I mean, I don't even know if she came back or if it was just, this is leftover footage we didn't use.
It could be leftovers, but there's conversations she has that weren't in Thor 2, and there's scenes of her waking up and running away from Rocket and stuff. And then they also bring back Toby Jones as Arnim Zola for literally less than a second, and they don't show his face.
Yeah.
And that can't be old footage because he's in a 70s facility.
Uh-huh.
That was insane that they bothered. But anyway, okay. So when they try to get the space stone back, there's a whole hullabaloo of nonsense happening because they make Thor take the stairs, blah, blah, blah. And what happens
is Loki
from 2012 Avengers, like immediately after the 2012 Avengers, manages to get his hands on the Tesseract and then jump through space with it.
Yeah.
So he vanishes into his own timeline somewhere else in space. So he doesn't fuck up their future because he doesn't show up in it. He fucks up that weird timeline, space line.
100% he's going to show up again, though,
yeah,
in their timeline.
It's their setup for the Loki Disney Plus series. is that he's going to be bouncing around in time correcting problems throughout history.
Oh, yeah. It's Quantum Leap with Loki.
It is. They haven't even have a name for that show yet, because it won't happen until like 2 years from now. But it's just a little foreshadowing of that. It doesn't break the timeline of the 2019 Avengers Endgame stuff. Meanwhile, Hulk is having a long conversation with Tilda Swinton, returning as the Ancient One.
Yep.
And she helps by explaining how all this timeline shenanigan works. She's like, hey, if you take a stone out of a timeline, that timeline turns all fucked up and dark. And he's like, yeah, but we'll put the stones back when we're done. And she's like, oh, okay. Well, she's like, no. And he's like, yeah, but Doctor Strange told me I had to do this. And she's like, Doctor Strange said that? Okay, here's the time stone.
Yeah.
And that sets up one of my minor nitpicks of the film, John.
Uh-huh.
Hulk just takes the time stone and just holding it. Remember when it blew up Ronan? Well, not that one specifically.
That's the power stone.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to touch any of them. No one is. You're not supposed to be able to touch these things without them messing with you dramatically.
Oh, man, it's fine.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's fine.
Every other time.
I think it's only the power stone that will fuck you up. And it does fuck Thanos up when he does it again in this movie.
That's true. He pulls it out and, well, we'll save that for later. But everyone's grabbing these stones all the time in this movie.
Everybody's grabbing these stones.
They're grabbing
the
stones left and right.
Hey!
Oh!
Anyway.
Remember when Red Skull grabbed the blue stone and he was like, yeah, look at this cool blue stone I just picked up with my bare hands. And then it sends him back in time and makes him be a ghost. I mean, he can't touch these stones.
Well, it doesn't send him back in time. It sends him through space because it's the space stone.
It sends him to Vormir and makes him be a weird ghost man. Okay, so meanwhile...
In space,
Rhodey and Nebula are sent to Morag in one of... I think this is my favorite usage of leftover footage from a previous film.
Uh-huh.
Because Rhodey... They're not the only two who showed up. Rhodey and Nebula are there, but also Nat and Clint show up. They immediately steal Quill's empty ship. I mean, probably empty. It still has that lady he was sleeping with.
Yeah.
So she goes on a fun ride to Vormir.
They had the other ship. They just shrunk down.
Yeah, that's right. They brought a ship with them and brought it up to regular size. So they take a ship and fly out to Vormir, but meanwhile, Rhodey and Nebula, this is my favorite thing of used footage in the movie, the scene from the very beginning of Guardians, where he's dancing around to Come and Get Your Love, and then, because it's such a great scene, and then they show that he's just listening to it on his headphones, and he looks like an idiot.
Yeah, when you're looking at it from not his perspective, you're like, oh, it's just some guy, like, wandering around, dancing on a planet, and just,
yeah, when the soundtrack's only diegetic to one guy,
it's great.
That's my favorite part. Anyway, they hit him with a stick or something and knock him unconscious, which is also nice because fuck Chris Pratt, am I right? And then they get the time stone, but unfortunately it turns out that Nebula...
That's not the time stone, that's the power stone.
They get the power stone. It turns out that Nebula has a weird nebula disease where if she's too close to any other nebulas, then they R2-D2 out some hollow footage of whatever the other nebula
is
currently doing.
Well, they have the same network, so basically like they Wi-Fi sync up.
Why
Bluetooth
do they have
style.
Any network? There weren't more than one nebula before time travel fuckery.
Well, I assume there's some sort of nonsense that she gets from Thanos's ship.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, oh, I can send messages or whatever to you, or I can see through your eyes, because Thanos fucking built her, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she shows up, now there are two things trying to jump onto the same network.
And what it causes is she gets a headache and falls down, and meanwhile the other nebula on Thanos' ship suddenly starts spouting hollow footage of Rhodey and the Power Stone.
Yeah.
Which is real weird, but it's fine because it gives us our villain for the movie. Thanos is hanging out with Gamora and Nebula and Ebony Maw. And they're actually punishing Nebula for losing a fight, so she's already up on something. They immediately assume that Nebula... Well, Thanos puts it all together right away because he's smart. He's like, oh my god, they came from a time where I already succeeded and they're trying to break it. Okay,
well, these assholes.
We're gonna put a stop to this. Well, Nebula's already betrayed me. And he's like looking at his current Nebula, and Ebony Maw's like, sire, do you want me to kill her? She's obviously going to be a traitor at some point in the future.
And he's like, nah, I'm going to use her right now.
Now get me all of the memories that nebula has, which means he watches himself get beheaded.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, now I have enough information to know that I can send my nebula to go get that nebula, change all her armor out so she looks like that nebula, and then send her to do some shenanigans in the future, and then I'll invade the future.
Yeah. Man, this movie is the most comic booky of all movies.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it kind of sets up a situation where the MCU is stuck with all this comic book leftover bullshit. I mean, really, the fallout of this movie is, boy, are they going to have to hand wave. There's going to be so much hand waving.
Hawkeye and Widow go to Vormir. None of them knew that they had to sacrifice something to get the Soul Stone. So there's a big fight between the two of them for who can sacrifice themselves better.
Because they're both real sad and down in the dumps about stuff. So they both want to kill themselves. And it's a big fight over who gets to kill themselves. And
Nat wins.
They have a fight. Black Widow wins. And she is dead.
Well, yeah. Because... you know, for this one, she's like, look, Hawkeye, you actually have something to go back to if we undo this. Even if we undo the snap, I don't really have anything else. So, bye.
Yeah, and they have a scene where he tries to jump off, and she stops him midair from jumping off, and then she jumps off. And,
yeah.
I wanted to see the Red Skull's reaction to all of this, where he's just like, damn, these two are both really... This is the
weirdest... Man, every time I normally have to, like, try and convince people to do this.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah. Hawkeye wakes up with a stone, but he's sad because Nat's dead, and they all come back to report.
Yay.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. No, they don't, because they failed to get the space stone.
Yes.
So they have to go to a point where there's both Pym particles and the space stone in the same location at the same time, so they have enough Pym particles to return to the future. It is just Iron Man and Cap who are going. So with the space stone and the mind... Oh, sorry, time stone and the mind stone go back to the present with Hulk and Ant-Man, respectively. Meanwhile, Cap and Iron Man jump to 1970 in a secret S.H.I.E.L.D. military base, which otherwise I would have skipped if not for the fact that we have John Slattery and Michael Douglas here.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the latest person from Community to show up.
Yes. That's, I think, everyone except for Chevy Chase.
Yeah. I've seen the list of things like three people left who have yet to make it in. But Yvette Nicole Brown shows up in a do-nothing role where she identifies that the two of them should not be on the base.
Yeah.
And says that one of them has Mungo Jerry-style sideburns, which I think was my favorite joke in the movie.
But yeah, they go get the Tesseract out of, holding on the base.
Mm-hmm.
Cap goes to get the Pym particles. We see a aged, way down Pym.
Yeah, with some serious hair.
And he's got the old style Ant-Man helmet there, which is fun times.
Yeah, that was a nice little callback. And, Iron Man runs into, Howard Stark, the John Slattery version, not the Dominic Cooper version.
Nope.
Who is his wife is 1 month away from giving birth to Tony.
Yep.
So they have a really heart-to-heart style talk about, like, how do you know when you're ready to be a dad, and what's it mean to be a dad to your kid, and so on. And
yeah,
it's a very touching scene.
Yeah, and especially since so much of Iron Man stuff has been, you know, guilt around his parents and stuff like that. So him being able to have this moment is very good for him.
I really like that they have stuck to having both Dominic Cooper and John Slattery play the role of Howard Stark, and just whenever they need either one, they just use the one that they need.
Yeah.
I love that it's the only one they've done that with. Anyone else, they just age them down digitally. So yeah. Okay.
And Cap gets to see Peggy one more time, and that's going to be pretty much the catalyst for him at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. And then they get back to the future with the space stone. They have the space stone.
They got all the stones. They're back in the future.
Unfortunately, the nebula that comes back isn't the right nebula. It's the 2014 Guardians era.
They're still evil nebula.
Yeah, she's still evil, and she starts machinating.
Yeah. So they get all the stones, put them in a glove.
An Iron Man-style glove. And then they have a long argument over who should get to use it. Winner is Hulk.
Yeah. And again, this is another scene that I think really showcases what's going on with Thor and his depression and despair of him being like, you have to let me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I need to be able to do something.
Yeah, Thor really wants to do it too.
Yeah, for him, he's just so fucked up that at this point, he's like, even if it kills me, I want to be the one to do it because I want to be able to get the W for once in my life.
Yes. Okay. I forgot to mention the Hawkeye retrieval. A long time ago, Nat went to go find Hawkeye. He has turned into Ronin. He has gotten the world's worst haircut and
a sleeve.
I love that he's going to have to explain that shit to his family. He's going to be like, yeah, when you guys died, I went into a ridiculous emo phase and got this, you know, this undercut and these this sleeve. Respect my new tribe tattoos, guys. Family.
Dad, you look like a big dumb asshole. Yeah, I know.
Oh, Dad, you look like you just walked out of a Paramore concert.
Funnily enough, they didn't get snapped.
No one in Paramore got snapped. They're basically the Beatles now. Every other band lost at least one important guy.
But it turns out that they generate gamma radiation. So Hulk's like, not only am I going to be the most durable, but also the way that the stones work, I'm probably the most likely to be able to survive it.
Yeah. And so indeed, he puts on the gauntlet. It hurts him real bad, but then he snaps his fingers and it burns his arm real bad.
Yep. But he undoes the snap and
nothing really seems to happen yet.
But Ant-Man goes to a window and sees birds.
Yes.
Which I guess he's like, hey, look, birds are here. And these aren't part of the half of birds that were still alive. So I guess it must have worked.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's going to be so many whales because whales managed to repopulate already in the ensuing.
There's going
to
be so many more whales.
There's too many whales.
There's way too many whales.
Yeah. What's the population of the Earth now?
What's the population of whales?
Well, think about it. You cut the Earth's population in half and a lot of people get right to fucking because they're like, oh, screw you, Thanos. We're going to repopulate. We're going to rebuild. And then he's like, haha, my final revenge is coming. All those people are coming back, and the population of the Earth is going to be like 11 billion. Up yours, dummies. Okay, so, but the first thing that happens to prove that the snap is undone is that Hawkeye gets a phone call from his wife.
Yes. Now, while the whole Infinity Stone thing is happening, Nebula is setting up the time travel machine to basically just bring Thanos' entire giant fuck-off ship to the present.
I'm glad they had enough Pym particles to pull that move off. Very impressive, Douglas.
Very expensive.
Obviously, up until that point in the movie, Pym particles have been this mega precious resource because Hank Pym himself got dusted. I just assumed that Thanos picked up the little vial on Nebula's hand gauntlet time travel thing and was like, ah, this kind of particle. I'm a super genius. I'll just build them myself.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll just have someone manufacture this.
I'm the Thanos. Don't worry about it.
It's me, the Thanos.
Yeah. Oh, that was also that 2014 scene is one of my other minor nitpicks. I was really hoping for the other to show up again.
Yeah, no.
I know no one gives a shit. It's
no
just
one
me.
Does.
It's just me.
It
and
is
I'm okay.
only you.
I really wanted to see him again. He was a terrible, stupid stopgap measure that they had to use in the 2012 Avengers movie to explain the fact that Thanos was, they weren't quite ready to start making Thanos appearances in the film. And so they took Wesley from Angel and was like, here, you're wear this dumb face cage and this green face paint and you're the other. And you say things like, you are disappointing Thanos. And he should have been around because he dies like 2 days after the Thanos appearance in the 2014 Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So he should have been around to get murdered by Ronan, but instead we have Ebony Maw. It's fine. It's all fine. I'm not worried about it. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'm fine.
So at this point, the giant ship shows up, shoots a shitload of missiles, blows up the Avengers base.
Really crushes the time machine. They do their best to be like, see, no more time machine, except for the other one at the end of the movie. Don't
except
worry
for
about
that
it.
One we've got.
Oops.
Oops, all time machines. So they have a good amount of business that goes on here. We get a reference to the original Secret Wars with Hulk holding up a ton of the rubble and sort of saving who's down there with him?
It's Rhodey and Rocket.
Rhodey and Rocket. And so there's a good visual call to that. Hawkeye is the one who gets to actually have the gauntlet and is running away from a shitload of bad guys.
Yeah, all those Outriders. I think they're called Outriders.
The Outriders.
The forearm monsters that work for Thanos. So he's running through a bunch of corridors and getting to do cool arrow tricks to like blow up Outriders and grapple to high safety and so on.
Oh, yeah. He gets to do a bunch of cool Hawkeye business.
Which is, he survives the movie, but I mean, this is probably his last movie. I think he's just going to be on that Disney Plus show going forward.
Well, yeah, I assume at this point he gets to be mentor role to Kate Bishop.
Yeah, and then Kate Bishop shows up in the Young Avengers movie with, I don't know, stature and some new Iron Man, don't worry about it. We'll talk about it. We know who it's going to be, and it's a reveal for the end of the movie.
Yeah, it's Riri Williams.
I don't think they're going to do Riri. I think the fact that they already have the world's smartest black girl as a cast, I mean, they could do two, but I feel like they're going to, some amount of racism at some point in the marketing department's gonna be like, nah, if you're gonna make it a black lady, it's just gonna be Shuri. So
nah,
full stop.
No, nah, that's not happening.
I think it's gonna be Marley
and me.
It'll be Marley and me. It'll be Jacob Marley.
It'll be a dead dog that got unsnapped. It'll be Marley.
Okay, sorry about all that. So yeah, they're all running around in bottom corridors. Nebula, evil Nebula, shows up and talks to her space dad. Meanwhile, on the ship, good Nebula is converting good Gamora or evil Gamora into good Gamora.
Yeah, because we already know Gamora didn't want to do any of the Thanos business and was basically just there to try and, you know, not have everything be shit for her sister.
Yeah, she just hasn't quite betrayed him yet in this storyline, but she was going to in like a week.
Yeah, so when future Nebula's like, yeah,
we become good sister friends.
Like, I try to kill you a whole bunch, but then it turns out we're friends and sisters, and betraying Thanos is great, and why don't you come along with me, and we'll betray Thanos together.
It's literally a little one-scene, one-minute conversation that converts past Gamora back.
Well, Gamora was like, man, I've been looking for an excuse,
so
sure.
It's just fine. So the two of them go running off. They have a fun Mexican standoff shoot with evil Nebula, where evil Nebula gets shot by good Nebula. So wiping her out of the storyline, don't worry about that. And then also where Quill, after post-snap, shows up for a dramatic moment, sees Gamora, who immediately knees him on the in the balls.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, right, because you don't have any memories of, And then poor Nebula has to be like, yeah, this is definitely the one you chose. It was him or a tree.
Yeah. But before we get to that, we've got the very good fight scene of Thor, Iron Man, and Cap taking on Thanos 3v1, which is real fucking good. And let me just, again, I've been talking about this Fat Thor thing. The fact that he stays that way throughout the whole movie. That he didn't just like, oh, I raise my hammer and I get hit by lightning and I'm back to being sexy Thor.
I was surprised that Frigga didn't fix it. When she wasn't just like, I was raised by witches. Fat be gone.
Instead, biggity boogity boo.
Yeah, instead she was just like, hey man, eat some salads.
The fact that he gets to be like, oh no, I'm fat and a superhero, go fuck yourself.
Well,
they
basically turned him into All-Father Thor. If they had left the eye patch on, he would be completely the comic book All-Father Thor.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he's a little burlier, and he's got the big braided beard, and he's got the eye patch, and he just kind of starts looking like his dad.
Yeah. So
but anyway, the three of them go and have a fun fuck you fight with Thanos, where the biggest reveal of the movie is revealed.
Yep. The, because Thor goes into the fight wielding both Stormbreaker and Mjolnir, and at one point he is getting
clobbered,
just absolutely fucked over by Thanos, who is in a mirror of the end of Infinity War, has Stormbreaker where he's trying to push that into Thor's chest, and then Mjolnir hits Thanos in the face and goes flying into the hand of Captain America.
Yeah, which I think was one of my favorite moments in the film, because when Thor lands in some rubble and sees it happening, he's not like jealous or anything.
He's not like, oh no.
He's just like, I knew it. He's so excited to watch. And then we get to watch Cap fight with the shield and the hammer, where he's like throwing the shield and using the hammer to bounce the shield and stuff. And it's
just like hitting the shield with the hammer for extra force.
Also, he's got lightning powers while he's got the hammer.
Yeah. He's just being a super badass.
Yeah. It's a really good fight.
Yeah. And at that point, he's like, all right, well, fuck this then. He straight destroys Cap's shield in a
reference to
Infinity War,
mm-hmm.
the comic book, not the movie.
Yes. And then calls down his army to invade the planet, and he gives us his magnum opus of what he's going to do this time. He's like, look, guys, I thought cutting the world in half was good because people would know that I did it and they'd worship me. Instead, everyone's mad at me, so I'm going to take my ball and go home. I'm going to erase the entire universe, and I'm going to build it up from scraps as a group of people who are grateful.
Yeah. He's like, look, as long as there are people who remember what life was like before I destroyed half of the life in the universe, they're going to be fighting against it. So I'm just going to make it so nobody knows that.
You could have fixed that on the first go around by using the Mind Stone, dipshit, just to erase everyone's memory of the thing.
Oh, no one remembers Ben Grimm anymore.
All right. So anyway, yeah. And then he unleashes his army, his mighty army.
And there's a great shot of Cap
standing
alone with this vast, huge army.
Strapping his broken shield back on anyway.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, well, I guess I'm doing this then.
And then we get the big climactic moment where...
On your left.
I was really hoping for on your left, like an actual callback for it.
Which we did.
We did. Yeah. I'm sorry. All the portals start opening up.
Yeah, and we get an on your left as Falcon flies past him.
Yeah, so we get that. We start getting just everybody coming in order of importance and in order of audience applause.
Yeah, we get, you know, all of the Wakandans come in with, like, not just, Shuri and Black Panther. We get, like, the full Wakandan army.
Mm-hmm.
Still
no David Kaluuya. I was really hoping to spot him at least here.
Nah.
But
The Jabari tribe is there. Yeah. We do get a
Winston Duke. Yeah. Shuri's there. Okoye's there. So the whole Black Panther contingent. And smartly, as opposed to Infinity War, this time they brought their cool airplanes.
They're like, oh, sweet. We're just going to bring in all of our badass artillery.
Where were their cool airplanes in Infinity War?
Being rebuilt after Black Panther?
That must be right. There you go. That's fair. So they bring in their cool airplanes.
Yeah, they've had 5 years to build more cool airplanes.
And then another portal opens up and
we get the Guardians.
The Guardians, like the Ravagers and all that, show up. They have Howard the Duck with them.
We get a whole bunch of wizards, like all of the surviving wizards that didn't get murdered by Mordo yet.
Yeah, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. shows up in a big block as well. So there's just a huge army. There's a huge fuck-off army. I think the Asgardians show up
Yes.
There's a contingent of Asgardians.
We've got Valkyrie on a fucking Pegasus.
Korg and Meek with battle armor and cool weapons.
Yeah. Everyone, just fucking everyone comes in.
And right as all of it is fully assembled, a blue Iron Man suit containing Gwyneth Paltrow lands.
Yeah. And
Spider-Man's, everyone's here.
Spider-Man's back. Everyone's back.
Mm-hmm.
And we get, for the first time ever, Cap actually gets to say his Avengers Assemble line.
Which is right after they finished assembling. But it's okay. It doesn't matter. They can't hear him. He says it real quietly.
I mean, he yells it, but it doesn't matter. This is a giant fucking battlefield.
I just watched, you probably haven't seen it yourself, but I just watched the Captain Marvel movie. I'm sorry, Shazam.
Uh-huh. Oh, I saw it.
You saw Shazam? All I could think of was that scene where him and Savannah are floating and yelling at each other, or Savannah's like doing his speech about what he'll do, but they're up in the sky and Captain Marvel, or
what?
What? I can't hear you. We're in the sky.
You're like a mile away from me.
Speak up. When he's like, Avengers, assemble. And you're like, no one can hear that.
He yells assemble. It doesn't.
But then there's a point where Wong and Doctor Strange come together and they're looking around and Strange is like, man, is this everybody? And Wong's like, what, were you hoping for more? And then all of a sudden, Ant-Man comes bursting from the bottom of that tower building.
Yeah, because he saves Rhodey and Rocket
and Hulk
going down there and being like, okay, I'll just get huge and push all the rubble out of the way.
Yeah, so he huges up and then here's a whole bunch more Avengers. There's just so many Avengers, you guys.
And then this is like a ridiculous fight scene, and it is all of the toys get mashed together, and it's amazing.
It's everything you would have ever wanted to see.
You get to see fucking Scott punch one of those Sky Leviathans.
That's the point where, here's the thing, there's a point where they're like, hey, we have to do some like quantum realm stuff, but he blew up the quantum realm tunneling device, and Scott's like, but my van's right there, and he clicks a little button and it plays this little horn sound. Then him and Evangeline Lily Wasp go flying off to fix it. The very next shot is him punching a Sky Leviathan in giant form right back through the portal, and I'm like, hey, he just went to the van and started fixing it.
See, I think he punched the Leviathan and then was sent to go deal with it.
Mm, it's backwards. I was, and the reason I'm hoping it's backwards is because it means Bill Foster's there. but it doesn't matter. We get every one of your fun toys that you get to watch. Mostly it's just a big keep away battle where they try to keep the
gauntlet away from Thanos.
Yes. So
you get to see Spider-Man do his instant kill mode.
Mm-hmm. He gets to kill like a huge pile of Outriders by stabbing them with his back blades.
All of the Marvel moms come to save him.
I was going to say, we don't want to get to that point yet, because there's also before that happens, there's the scene where Scarlet Witch pops up and faces down Thanos, and she's like, you took everything from me. And he's like, I don't even know who you are.
I haven't met you yet. I'm from the past. I don't...
Who?
It was a Tuesday.
She's like, oh, you'll know who I am. And she starts murdering him, which he responds to by being like, hey, turn on the cannons and point them here, because I won't die from them, but she might.
Yeah. They're just like, just blow up the shit. But you're going to hit your own guys. I do not care.
That doesn't fucking matter.
And a great bit in that, when they're shooting down, and then they all stop, point skyward, and start firing. You're like, the hell's going on here?
Yeah, what are they shooting at? And it's obvious what they're shooting at. It's the one missing Avenger, as Captain Marvel comes rocketing through and does her apparently a signature move in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is flying through a spaceship a bunch of times.
Just blowing the fuck out of Thanos' ship.
So then we get the Marvel mom set up, because Spider-Man is running with the gauntlet. He gets his back blades torn off by Thanos, lands in a pile, and Marvel shows up to be like, hey, I think I can carry that for you. And he's like, here you go. But are you going to be okay with it? And she's like, don't worry, I'll have help. And then every single Marvel lady shows up.
Yeah.
It's a great scene. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but it is a great fucking scene. I mean, even Gamora shows up to just run in a big...
I don't know who this kid is, but for some reason, deep in my soul, I must protect this pitiful little child.
Well, it's not even... they're all there to escort Danvers. Danvers has the thing, and she's running away
with it.
And
she flies off.
I mean, yeah, but they're like, we're forming up. We're forming up, and we're going to phalanx. And there's a point where, like, she's going to start running with the gauntlet, and all these Marvel women start up to protect her, and I'm like, really? Do you think Carol Danvers needs Mantis' help all that bad?
No, I am 99% sure this is all just to save Spider-Man.
We're all here for Spider-Man.
All of us, our maternal instinct just went off, and we're like, we have to save
Mantis
that boy.
Mantis would save Spider-Man. That is true, because he saved her in Infinity War. He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't remember your name. Yeah, so it's every single still alive Lady Avenger shows up in a big group.
Yeah.
And it's just an awesome scene.
We get a great scene where Thanos and Carol go 1v1 and he tries to headbutt her and she just does not move.
Oh, that's the best no sell that there has ever been in this MCU.
Yeah.
He headbutts her and she just reacts in no way. What was that? And then somebody,
I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm sorry, did you just headbutt me? And then he reacts to that by taking the power stone out of his own gauntlet and using it to just power punch her.
Yeah.
And sends her flying so far that we don't see her land. And then, good, she's out of the fight now, which is fine because she'll be back in Marvel Cap 3, the battle with, I'm going to assume, Annihilus.
No, Annihilus is not showing up anywhere.
Mm.
I'm telling you right now.
Mm. We'll see. I shouldn't have said Marvel Cap 3. That's not what it'll be.
That's a video game.
A video game that came out a long time ago.
Marvel, however.
Yeah, Captain Marvel 2. Well, he won't be in Captain Marvel 2. There's no way that's not Moonstone as the villain. I mean, that's, who else are they going to put in there that can even possibly go toe-to-toe?
Eh.
It's either going to be one of them big universe-ending villains, or it's going to be Moonstone just because she's normally Captain Marvel's villain.
Lol.
Otherwise, you're going to get, who's that Graviton guy? Is his name Graviton?
Graviton. They used him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too much.
Yeah, but he's the kind of power level you need when you do a Captain Marvel movie.
Anyway,
yeah, they have a fun fight. Thanos wins.
Yeah, Thanos.
It's a great, it's an awesome shot, though, of him popping the Power Stone out and using it to do sort of a gut punch that just sends her flying with a big purple, like, explosion wave.
Yeah, and you can see him holding the Power Stone just fucks his arm up.
Yeah, it is not a good time for him. Then finally, having broken free of her control, he's got the gauntlet. He puts it on. He's getting ready to snap. Iron Man, or Doctor Strange, who was barely in this movie, his whole role in the fight is, there's apparently a huge lake nearby.
Yeah, a dam breaks and he's just sort of magic holding it.
They gotta quit setting up their big fight zones near these huge dams. So Doctor Strange, easily one of the most powerful characters on the field, spends the whole fight holding a dam off, or just doing a dam's job.
Yeah.
But he's like, hey, this is your moment, Captain America, or Iron Man, you have to do the thing. And Iron Man dashes towards Thanos, gets knocked away, but reveals that he actually stole the stones.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he built the gauntlet that is currently holding it. It's basically an Iron Man gauntlet that's holding the stones. So when he gets there, he can just be like, whatever, it's my fucking thing. I'll just tell it to transfer the stones to my hand.
Yeah, so Thanos snaps, nothing happens. He gives his stupid line again where he's like, you tried to stop me and failed. I am inevitable. And then in the ultimate callback to an old Marvel movie, Iron Man says his line from the end of the first Iron Man movie.
I am Iron Man.
Yeah.
Snap. And fucking destroys all of Thanos' shit.
Well, he dusts them. Now, the one character who we don't see at this point is Gamora. She disappears from the movie at this point. So hopefully she didn't get dusted. Hopefully he was doing his dusting of Thanos' forces based on intent.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's no way that she did.
Yeah.
Given the fact that when we see Quill in the ship later, he's doing a search for her.
Yeah.
Like, that has to be a main thing in Guardians 3.
Yeah. So he dusts Thanos and everybody. Thanos realizes it, sits down, looks all shocked at what's happened, and then fades away.
Yep.
So does Ebony Maw. And all of the rest of the army, whatever. We don't even see what happens to, like, Proxima Midnight and Corvus Glaive. The fight's just too big.
Yeah, I mean, we do see them fighting.
Yeah, the only one of them we see get taken out other than Ebony Maw by the dusting is the big one.
Black Dwarf?
Black Dwarf gets stomped by Giant Man. He's, like, chasing after someone and gets knocked down by Spider-Man, and then Ant-Man steps on him and kind of squishes him around a little.
Big.
Yeah. Anyway, that's...
Iron Man dies.
Iron Man dies. There's very little about... It's a pretty straightforward death.
Yeah, we get the mirror of Peter's death from Infinity War with Peter over Iron Man now.
And then Gwyneth Paltrow just sort of moves him out of the way.
It's like, hey, I'm the wife. What the fuck are you doing, kid?
Come on, kid.
Get the fuck out of here.
Basically, she's just there to tell Iron Man it's okay.
You can go to rest. You can sleep now.
It's fine. I got the kid. It's fine. So he dies, and then we basically cut to 7 endings in a row because it's the end of all this stuff. Yay!
Yep. We get Tony's funeral.
Tony's funeral is great.
A shitload of people.
It's basically everybody gets into their own little cliques and just sort of hangs out in groups. So you got the core Avengers, the core Guardians, some S.H.I.E.L.D. guys, the Asgardians.
Strange, Carol, Nick Fury shows up.
Who's the closest person there is to Carol, and some guy.
Yeah, some guy, which...
It's Ty Simpkin. If you know actors, you know he was in the Jurassic World movies, too.
He's the kid from Iron Man 3.
Yeah, he played Marley in Iron Man 3, so they brought him back just to stand there at the funeral.
Yeah.
The core Ant-Man group is there, so Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yep.
I mean, there are so many people.
There's a lot of people. There are a lot of people that show up that I think someone was saying, like, I counted at least five Academy Award nominees that have no lines in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many. People have complained that Iron Man gets a lavish private funeral and that Natasha doesn't.
Yeah.
But no one really knows Natasha except the Avengers, and they have their own little private ceremony for her. And how far did you want Hulk to throw that bench? I feel like that they did. The reason you forget it happens is because it happens at like the hour and a half mark.
Yeah. I mean, they have so much business left.
Yeah.
Anyway, then they have to put the stones back where they got them so they don't fuck up the timeline.
So they send Cap to do that, which is going to lead to some weird moments.
So Cap leaves. He's got all the stones. He presumably puts them all back.
He also has Mjolnir, so he's presumably going to put that back.
Yeah, because, you know, Thor still needs that in his timeline.
So luckily, Pym particles also work as a teleport wherever you need to, in addition to whenever you need to device.
Mm-hmm.
So he teleports to Morag and Vormir. To Vormir, where presumably he just gives the stone to Red Skull. That's a moment I want.
Just shows up and is like, huh?
What?
The fuck?
What? He's like, Red Skull's
want to get Red Skull's reaction to Cap showing. He was like, no fucking way.
Yeah. He's like, hey, didn't you die? No, I was frozen for like 70 years.
Did you die?
Yeah. Well, hey, now that you have time travel, you should go back and live with Peggy for your whole life. That's what I'd like for you. Red Skull, how you doing?
Hi, I'm Red Skull.
That's what I want. I want it to be a little reconciliation, because Red Skull's just been living as a cursed ghost shell for...
Yeah, he's like, proximity to the Soul Gem has just fucked my shit up forever.
I'm not the Red Skull. I just look like him.
I am just currently the caretaker of the Soul Stone. That's
so
all I am.
When he sees Cap, I just want to be like, oh, thanks for the Soul Stone. Hey, you know what you should do?
What you
should really do?
You do you, boo.
Yeah, I want that. But anyway, yeah, he goes and does all the stone returns, put them back in their timeline, so all those other timelines aren't fucked up. Although that leads to an interesting question. The core timeline, the central timeline, now has no Infinity Stones in it. They had some for a little while. Those got blown up. They got some more ones. They put them all back. The core timeline has no Infinity Stones. Aren't they a fucked universe?
Well, because what the Ancient One was saying was actually removing it from the timeline.
Oh,
because then that it's fully gone. When Thanos destroyed them,
he just blew them up. Yeah, so they're just atomically present.
Yeah,
they're there, but they're in little bits.
Yeah, they're just spread throughout the galaxy. You can't destroy the Infinity Stones, but you can spread them out.
Okay,
like peanut butter.
Yeah, yeah,
delicious cosmic peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. Which means also that some supervillain could, like, especially say Molecule Man, could easily put them back together.
I mean, at some point, if they really want to do Adam Warlock or whatever, they can be like, hey, he manages to get some shit.
They set him up. I would be,
yes, they did.
It'd be weird if they didn't do him. Also, there was going to be the scene of Thanos rampaging through Xandar was going to be an Infinity War, and they cut it because they were like, there aren't enough people on Xandar that anyone's familiar with that we can just do it without having to have a lot of explanation.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sad they didn't, because it means we can't do the world mind creating Nova. I assume that if they want to do Nova, they'll have to stick him into the beginning of Guardians 3 as well.
Eh.
Okay, so meanwhile,
they try to bring him back from his time travel stuff. We don't actually see him putting the stones back.
No.
They just go, look, it's going to be like 5 seconds for us, regardless of how long it takes you.
Mm-hmm.
So they send him back, count to five, hit the button. He doesn't come back. And then they notice an old dude sitting on a bench. And it's old Cap. And he spent his whole life hanging out with Peggy and got his life. And
I have a hard time. Well, I would have a hard time pulling this off. Cap's a better man than I. I mean, he's a better man than everybody. But he's like, I'm going to go back and live in 1946. And I'm like, I couldn't. Good on you for being able to do it, but you're moving away from the internet.
Well, the big thing for me is less what you're giving up and more being like, so Captain America's sitting there and he's like, all right, well, I can't tell anybody about any of the upcoming problems that we're going to have. I don't stop 9/11. I don't.
The thing is, he can and probably does, because that's not the same timeline as the one he comes back to be an old man and say hi to everybody. He creates an alternate timeline by going there and being there, because he didn't go there and be there previously. So that's a whole separate timeline.
Then how is he there?
When he finally gets old enough and Peggy dies, he uses the wristband and jumps back to the same timeline.
He doesn't have the wristband.
He had the wristband the whole time. He was supposed to come back. You need the wristband to come back. He was supposed to do it after he got all the stones done. He just didn't. Instead, he aged to a reasonable
If he was in a different timeline, he wouldn't be able to jump back because his timeline would have been split off. The only way he would be able to come back is to go back to the point where he had made the convergent timeline and then come back. But at that point,
why would he have trouble with that? Pym's alive in that timeline. He just goes and gets some, or there's no reason he can't take all the Pym particles he wants. Plus, I've got the Russos on my side on this one. They've already confirmed that he lived his life in an alternate timeline. So it's fine. He jumps back. Instead of living his life and then showing up out of the woods in that fort, like Field of Dreamsing onto that bench, he uses time travel to jump to that spot and then is like, hi, guys, I'm sitting on the bench.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Also, if you want some further explanation, he used Pym particles to shrink before he teleported back to that time pad. And then he walked over there as an old man and grew back up because he's a natural born showman. Remember when he used to have a USO show?
Oh, he understands the importance of putting on the correct show.
Yeah, exactly. But he was living in an alternate timeline the whole time, which is very convenient because he never has to explain to his wife in that timeline that one time when he made out with his niece.
It wouldn't be his niece, it would be her niece.
Yeah, it's her niece, which is still really, but from some guy that he never marries.
Yeah.
Or she never marries. So, he also never marries that guy, I assume. Yeah. I don't know, he might have married.
We don't know.
He
might have married a polycule.
Yeah, might have married some guy.
look, it's the Peggy, Cap, and some guy three-way.
If anyone's going to understand a polycule, it's Cap. Cap's going to be completely okay with it.
Oh, he's going to come back in time and be like, guys, I've brought back information from the future, including swinging.
Yeah, it's the 40s. We all know what swinging is. Everyone's read The Great Gatsby. What?
No, but I'm talking about, like, with a committed relationship.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Ooh.
Ooh, tell me more.
Anyway, gives the shield to Falcon, giving us the Falcap.
I mean, I understand that that's what it is in the comics, but Falcon is such a minor character in these that I really wish there'd been more Falcon stuff in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, he was dead.
Because there's certainly, here's where the Falcon goes from here, Disney Plus. There's a Falcon and Winter Soldier show that's coming.
Yeah.
So that's going to be where all that development happens. Meanwhile, Thor and Valkyrie have a conversation in New Asgard where he reveals that he's going to go off on his own somewhere. And he's like, hey, I can't be the king of New Asgard anymore. So by the whatever fat Thor powers, you are. And she's like, really? And because I'm the one who didn't do three movies where I learned to be a leader.
No, it was three movies where Thor kept trying to be a leader and fucking everything
and
up.
Learning. He was spending the whole time learning to be a
learning
good leader.
That he wasn't a good
and
leader.
And then he was a leader at the end of the third one. He was the leader of Asgard at the end of the third one. And also, what's he doing putting her in charge? What are her credentials?
Strongest.
She's just like, oh, second strongest Avenger.
She's strongest Asgardian after him.
Yeah, I guess that must be. But, I mean, you live in Norway now. You don't need to have contests of wills to determine who's in charge. You have socialized healthcare.
Nah, man. New Asgard. New Asgard rules.
But anyway, yeah, he puts her in charge, mostly just a lampshade, or I guess to hang a lampshade on her never being in another movie again. So she's just like, yay, I guess I'm the mayor of this little town by decree of the king of the planet we used to live on. I didn't live on it, but anyway.
I mean, she did at one point.
Yeah. Okay. But then he shows up on the Benatar, because he's going to be in Guardians 3.
And name drops as Guardians of the Galaxy, which is an actual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a little back and forth between him and Quill, which is wonderful.
And it's established that Nebula is definitely joining the crew.
Well, and what else do we get? Anything?
The conversation between Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch at Tony's funeral. The two of them have skipped the funeral because they have their own people to be sad about.
Oh, yeah.
Hawkeye is still thinking about Black Widow, and Scarlet Witch is still thinking about Vision, and they have a little conversation about how the two of them would appreciate what's happened.
Yeah, and definitely she's going to use her reality warping powers to bring Vision back to life and have children with him, just like in the comics.
I think the only other one is the biggest question that this movie generates, which is because we get a shot of Spider-Man returning to his high school and hugging Ned, which we've established that 5 years have indeed gone by because Cassie Lang is still 5 years older than she was. So
that just means Ned got dusted.
Which means that next Spider-Man movie is going to have to be like, hey, you know how every major character in the Spider-Man movies got dusted?
Well, I mean, the only ones we see that are still the same are him, Ned, Flash Thompson, and Mary Jane.
And his mom, and Happy Hogan. I think that might be it.
I mean, we don't know if Hogan or his mom actually got dusted or not. They could be 5 years older.
I feel like we'd probably know if his mom's right about to turn into the other Aunt May. But anyway, yeah, it's going to have to be like most of the kids in that high school that mattered got dusted. Isn't that convenient?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that means that they can send back the Vulture's daughter at some point and she's 5 years older.
Yeah. She'd be like, I'm the new Vulture now.
Yeah, that'd be great. Then she can be one of the villains of the Young Avengers.
Like, look, I'm part of the Sinister Six.
It's me and Abomination and Scorpion and, I don't know, Justin Hammer. Who else?
Oh, man, we got Mysterio coming up.
Yeah.
So we've got that. Honestly, the only thing we really need is a replacement for Green Goblin.
Well, it's not like Norman Osborn's dead in this universe. just haven't used him because he was the villain of the first Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They could put him in whenever they want.
We can get a Green Gobbo.
Yeah. So
I hope he's wearing a purple nightcap.
And indeed, no post-credits sequence there was.
Nope. We get a very good end credits sequence
with like signatures in it.
Yeah, I mean the last final shots of the Avengers, and it's a very good farewell sequence to that.
I've read interviews with people who are like, I don't think any of them are coming back of the core six. I think they pretty much wrote them all out because Cap's 95, Iron Man's dead, Black Widow's dead, Hawkeye is definitely going to retire and go spend all of his time with
his
family.
Hawkeye was already retired, and now he actually can.
I think that's that basically that pretty much leaves Thor, who's going to be off of the Guardians and is definitely going to be in a movie, and Ruffalo, I feel like there's no good reason for him to retire. Like, why? He could just become the new voice of smart stuff whenever they need smart stuff.
I would. There's two things I want. Either I want there to be a Mr. Fix-It storyline, or I want there to be a Maestro storyline, because we've already got time travel and dumb nonsense.
Yeah, well, especially because they use a time machine at the end to send Cap around. That means that the Avengers have a time machine still, so there's no reason that the next movie can't be time shenanigans.
Which is why I believe that the actual villain of the next phases is Kang.
I think we're gonna have to put a bet down on this one to see what
Kang the Conqueror makes the most sense.
Yeah, I think it's Nihilus.
Well, yours makes no sense and mine does, so
it's gonna be really weird when I'm right then, isn't it?
It's good that honestly, if it was Nihilus, I'd be like, this is the dumbest, weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it sure is weird how right Jeff was.
Yeah, I mean, considering that's not gonna happen, it would be very weird if you were.
So there you have it. That's so we'll see what it's all on tape.
All of it. We've got a record.
Years from now, when Avengers 5 comes out.
And it's Kang. And you're going to be like, oh.
What if it's both of them? We'll be so mad.
Kang and a Nihilus show up together like, we're best of friends. Damn it.
I'm messy. And I am neat.
I brought a Nihilus from the future.
Ah, God damn it. We're the original odd couple.
I made spaghetti. It's linguine.
Those two characters do not belong together.
They do not.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've talked a whole lot. There's a lot of nitpicks that Jeff has that we could get into if we want to. How long are we at now?
We're way over for budget. It's like we're like an hour and 20. But no, I already voiced most of them, so I'm really not worried at this point about going forward with them.
Yeah, I mean,
almost everything. I mean, there's a lot of leftover questions that are going to have to be answered. I feel like the way that they're going to fix it, because right now in the Marvel Universe, it's 2023, which is a problem. That Spider-Man movie that's coming, I feel like they're probably going to set it before the dusting.
I mean, you could, and maybe even should do that, because then that lets you have a good, clean break.
Because if you look at it, what are the next couple of movies that are coming out? You've got
Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi, they can set whenever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
They can be like, oh, Shang-Chi, it was in the 80s. Whatever, it's an 80s movie.
Yeah, we can just straight up do a, Kung Fu 70s movie if we want to.
The Eternals, it's in fucking space. It doesn't matter what year it is. Don't worry about it. Black Widow, prequel. I feel like they could just throw movies at us that happened before the snap until it's 2023. And be like, there, fine, fuck it, we're done.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my big thing was, man, you took Thanos out of the past and he came to the future, and if he's in the future, he can't snap from the past.
That's a different Thanos from an alternate timeline.
But it's not an alternate timeline.
It is an alternate timeline. The moment you go to an alternate timeline, you create an alternate timeline.
But they didn't go to an alternate timeline. They went to their timeline, which is why they had to return those stones
But the moment you go to the past in your own timeline, if you go to the past, you're in an alternate timeline now. You can't go to your own past. You can't go back there. You can go to an alternate timeline past, but you cannot go just right back into your own past. Anytime you go anywhere in time, it's an alternate timeline.
All of them. It's all alternate.
It is. That's the only way that the movie works is every single time you time travel, wherever you're going or why, you have to go to an alternate timeline. You can choose the alternate timeline if you want. Like, so for example, when you go from alternate 2014 Morag back to the timeline you came from, 2019 Avengers Endgame, but if you go back to the past to a place you have yet to be to, new alternate timeline.
Then how are you coming back to where you left from?
Like I said, you can choose when you're going back from the timeline you left, you can choose the timeline that you'd like to go to. The only one you can't choose is the one you are currently in.
So could I just go like, okay, I go to 1950.
Sure.
And then I jump back.
Yeah.
And then I go to 1950 and I jump back and I go to 1950 and I jump back. I'm not going to see myself back then time traveling, because every time I time travel, it's an alternate universe.
That's correct. Yes. That's the way that this movie works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
There's two layers to it, which I think is confusing to a lot of people. One of them is anytime you jump back anywhere you go, you're creating a new timeline. The other is that, and also if you were to jump back, you probably would see yourself, but it'd be an alternate yourself who was also also there. Because you're going to jump back to a timeline.
Alternate yourself.
Yeah, because you're going to jump back to a point where, yeah, you were, I mean, that's what happens with the nebulas. But the other thing is that because of the conversation with Tilda Swinton in the movie, you think, oh, alternate timelines only are created when you steal the stones. No, only alternate evil timelines are created when you
alternate
steal the stones.
Evil
they're not evil. They're just fucked. You fuck those timelines. And no one, they actually do create two fucked timelines in this movie. There are two where it's like, whoops, we fucked them up and we can't do anything about it.
What did they do?
I'm trying to remember which ones they were. It's the one where Natasha dies and the one where, it's the 24, actually, I think it's the same one because it's the Guardians of the Galaxy timeline is fucked. That timeline gets perma-fucked because Thanos leaves it.
Yeah.
They bring back Thanos. They don't go put a Thanos back.
Yeah.
So that timeline is turbo-fucked and they can't fix it.
Well, that timeline just never has Thanos do anything then.
Yeah.
From that point forward.
Yeah. But technically, it creates a busted-ass timeline where shit's going to go all wrong. And
well, no, it creates a timeline where there was never a snap.
Yeah. Instead, that timeline gets all cancerous and gross and turns into a negative zone, and then that's how you get Annihilus.
Yeah, but it wouldn't do that because they still have all the stones there, even if they don't have a Thanos.
You got me there. That's true.
Yeah, suck a dick. Yeah. No Annihilus.
No.
No Annihilus 2020.
It won't be in 2020. The next Avengers movie is probably 3 to 5 years away.
Oh, hell yeah. Kang for president 2024.
They'll start dropping hints in the next couple of movies, probably like in Doctor Strange 2 and stuff, of who it's going to be. But it'll be Annihilus.
But it'll be Kang.
See, here's the thing. I don't know why I have this in my head. Maybe it's because from old collector cards or something. I've always thought that Kang is basically an alternate version of Doom from the future.
No.
He's basically, what if Doom happened in the future? You'd get this Kang the Conqueror guy.
No, Kang is just from way the fuck in the future and is like, what are you? I mean, like Doom in that he is a dictator, yes.
Okay.
But he is not related to Doom in any way.
Well, I never thought he was related. I just thought he was like the same story, but in the future. Kind of like how the Legion of Superheroes has, you know, a lot of that shit happening in the DC universe. But anyway, to me, I was always like, you can't do Kang until you do Doom. Which, honestly, we're probably both wrong, and it's probably Doom.
No, it's definitely not Doom. I would love for it to be Doom. That would be my number one choice, because he provides a mystical technological problem for people to deal with. So you have both things for Strange, Wakanda. He's got his own country, so mm-hmm. he gets to be on the same footing as things like Wakanda.
He's basically Iron Man or Doctor Strange in an Iron Man suit. He's an amazing character.
Yeah.
With Captain America's sheer resolve. He would have been perfect as the villain the first go round, but they didn't have the rights to him.
No. But they didn't know they were going to have the rights when they've definitely already programmed out the next like 5 years of movies. So Kang the Conqueror. Yep.
Annihilus. And we're going to get a shot of him on the toilet.
That's my big prediction. Annihilus on the toilet 2024.
Annihilus in the Thanos copter 2024.
All right. We've talked about this for enough time.
We should rate it and be done with it. Or Jeff, I guess favorites and least favorites.
Jeff, give me the best thing in this movie for you. Give me one moment in this movie that's the most standout.
The funniest thing in the movie for me in the standout moment was when the Hulk goes back to the 2012 Avengers era, sees his past self rampaging on a car and throwing motorcycles at bad guys and stuff, and looks super embarrassed. He's like, I can't believe this.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, go get the stone, and I don't know, try to smash some stuff along the way.
So you look right, so you should go. You should smash while you're moving along so people think you're you. And he's like, I don't know. It kind of feels obligatory.
Luke just kind of goes out and like bashes like barely the top of a taxi and like hucks a motorcycle 2 feet.
It's this great moment. I loved it. I love that moment. It was probably it was the point that got me the hardest. What about you?
Probably the best moment for me is Cap with
Mjolnir. Yeah, it's a really cool scene.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say I didn't get a little teary-eyed at the death of Tony.
No, like, there's a lot of tears in this movie. There's several moments of good tears.
But
I think Happy Hogan talking to Morgan Stark is another. That is a heartbreaker.
But I think as far as just shots go, I think my favorite shot in the film is honestly Cap with the background of this entire Thanos army and him alone. Like, yeah. That's such a great shot.
It's really good. It's a great shot.
So worst thing in the movie for you?
I'm just going to say Hawkeye's haircut and call it a day. is that all right?
That is more than all right.
Okay, great. What about you? Because that's side buzz. It looks like his barber got snapped halfway through the cut. I mean, I know that's not what happened, but that's what happened in my head.
That's good. That's very good. Thank you. So low point of the movie for me, God, that's hard to pick. There wasn't a lot that I hated in this film. I'm probably still going to say the introduction of Fat Thor.
Oh, yeah. When they're in his house and he's just playing video games and getting drunk and yelling about snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not that great. I mean, as soon as they mention Thanos and he gets very serious and he's like, we don't say that name.
Yeah. They do a whole Thorbowski thing all the way through the movie.
Yeah. I honestly probably would have liked that better if they had played it serious.
Yes.
For most of it, instead of almost all of it is done for laughs.
Yeah, it's almost entirely jokes. You get the cheese whiz for blood joke. You get the eat some salads.
Yeah, I would have definitely preferred. They're like, no, man, he's like this because he's in pain.
Yeah.
And that's why this is happening. And you get a little bit of that. But I think especially the introduction is the weak point of that. And like you said, the like fat suit thing that he's in is just kind of like, ah, okay.
It looks like the kind of shit you'd buy at a Halloween store. It looks like he's wearing a breastplate. It's not good. Not good. Good Newman.
So there you go. We're gonna now give the rating 0 to 5 each of us for a rating out of 10 of Avengers Endgame.
4.5.
Very good.
4.5. I've done 5 for other Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And I would stand by my belief that there are better Marvel movies than this one.
Yeah.
It's really good, and it's certainly there's no way you're not seeing it if you're a fan of these movies in general. But I don't think it's as good as say for example Black Panther.
No. I mean, I would put Winter Soldier above this. Mm-hmm. I would put Black Panther above this. I would put First Avenger above this. Not the First Avengers film, but
Captain America First Avenger. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally get you. I would probably put Guardians 2.
I would put Guardians 2 above this.
I'd put this on par with this.
Yeah. Guardians 1, I'd say, is about the same as this.
Yeah, it's going to slot right in. It's a really good MCU movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'll probably give it a 4.5 as well, take it to 9. There's a part of me that wants to say 5 just to take it to 9.5.
What do you want to give me? You want me to give it a 4.75? In a groundbreaking first for movie mastery history, Jeff gives this a 4.75 out of 5.
I mean, there's no rules.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah,
I get a 4.5 and a handful of dry spaghetti.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go ahead and say it's a 9.5.
Yeah, it's a 9.5.
It's a 9.5 weeks.
We go to an alternate timeline where we've been given quarter scores the whole time.
God damn it. I hate time travel so much.
I can't wait for them to hand wave that shit out of every future movie. When they're like, why don't we just travel through time to fix the problem? There's a time machine out by Tony Stark's old house.
Yeah, but when we travel through time, it creates a timeline. And you see, when that happens, we won't be able to affect our timeline. It'll be a different timeline.
That doesn't matter as long as we solve the problem. Say, for example, we use the time machine to jump into the 2014 Guardians of the Galaxy universe to 10 seconds before Natalie would have died on Vormir. Obviously, she's going to be on Earth because Thanos doesn't cause any shenanigans because he's dead. And we just get her and bring her back with us. Now we have a Natalie.
Let's do any of them. Why don't we just do that? Whenever there's a problem, we just jump to various points in history and like solve it with 70 different Thors.
I mean, you could do it with that one if you wanted to doom a universe. If you wanted,
no, because then you return all of them to where they were.
Oh, eventually, sure.
Yeah, look, we're going to take 70 Thors and beat up whatever the problem is and then put all the Thors back.
Well, I'll be fine. We'll just do Secret Wars 2.
Secret Thors?
Yeah, Secret Thors. Well, have you ever actually seen what was going on in Secret Wars 2, the storyline where they were like, oh, we pulled in, it's not just that we pulled all the planet and made a battle planet out of it.
Yeah.
We pulled in all the timelines and dimensions. So Thor's become an intergalactic police force of Thor's.
Yeah, and there's the fucking original 5 old school X-Men. There's mm-hmm. There's a place where like Doom controls everything. There's a whole bunch of shit.
Doom controls the Thor Corps.
The Thor Corps.
Yeah, so that's
Thor Bay.
Well, there you have it.
9.5. Fuck it.
9.5. It's a 9.5.
It's a real goddamn good movie.
It's completely worth seeing.
If you have been along for the ride,
who the fuck is on the fence about Endgame?
Yeah, no. If you have come along for the ride with these 22 movies and you watch this,
mm-hmm.
you're going to enjoy it because you're already invested 22 deep.
Yeah, I don't know who's on the fence here. Who's like, you know what? Infinity War is where I decided to get off that train.
I figured I'll get to that and not see how it ends.
I won't see anything above 21 Marvel movies. I have seen a lot of people on the internet being like, this is the point where I get off, where I'm not going to go see the next Spider-Man movie. I've seen enough superhero movies, and I'm like, I don't know why people feel like
that's a thing. You know how many fucking like hundreds of horror films I've seen?
Yeah. I mean, I guess fatigue could set in, but it's like 2 hours a couple times a year. What do you care?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go see the Spider-Man movie because I like Tom Holland.
Like, it's good. It's a fun thing where things happen, but you know, it's, again, like you say, you're only seeing one every several months, which to me, I'm like, oh man, I'm so tired of playing a video game because I play it once every several months. I'm like, my dude.
Hon, we already had sex this month.
Can we wait a couple months?
This is where I get off that train.
This is where I get that train off. The sex train.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
The fuck train. We'll go hungry this winter.
Well, there you have it. That's the movie. It's definitely worth seeing. And we're definitely worth contributing a couple of bucks to. So why don't you head on down to patreon.com/systemmastery and give us a couple of bucks?
Hell yeah.
This is already the most overblown episode ever. So you want to just call it there?
I mean, honestly, it's fine. The movie's 3 hours. We can be long as well. And, you know, unlike the movie, you could pause this and go to the bathroom. So it's fine.
Yeah, go ahead.
You can do whatever you want.
I mean, if you choose to sit on the movie till it comes out on Blu-ray or digital download, then you can pause it and go to the bathroom whenever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be sure to check us out on Twitter. We've got the link to our Discord, and we have our spoilers channel right now. So if you're looking to discuss the movie with people, and we've got a great group of people in our Discord. So if you want to go there, we've got a whole channel where you can discuss this without worrying about ruining it for anyone.
I forgot, John.
Yes.
And I'm going to make this around 1:45 because I forgot to give you the report on the people in the theater who were in the neighborhood.
And let's end this on, what was Jeff doing in the theater here?
And as always, this is prefaced by the fact that I have really strong ADHD, and so normally when I'm in a theater, all I can pay attention to is the people who are near me instead of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
On my left was a person who complained that I had gotten the best seats in the theater by being the first person to buy tickets, which I was amazed by because I bought them the day before the movie.
Yeah, but that theater never has anyone there.
But he also was the kind of person who recites the IMDb profile of everyone he sees during the film.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd be like, oh, that guy was also in those Mission Impossible movies. Quietly to his wife all the way through the film, who I could see was suffering.
Yeah.
And sitting where next to where John would have been had he made the movie with me, was the ovalest man I've ever seen. He was basically like egg-shaped. Like, he was just like a big egg with a couple of stumpy legs at the bottom. He ate popcorn robotically for the first 45 minutes of the film. And when I say robotically, I mean with the exact same cadence, the exact same amount of time between each bite, and it was a slow rotation. There was no break in the rotation. It was like he had a conveyor belt for an arm. He was because he ate everything with his mouth open, because there was no point where he could close his mouth. By the time he would have closed his mouth, the next load of popcorn was there.
Yeah, obviously.
He had both asleep and awake apnea.
Mm-hmm.
The only person I've ever seen to have, because routinely during his breathing, he'd be like, while awake, he would be like, over and over again. And you could tell he had a sleep apnea because he fell asleep at the exact moment he ran out of popcorn. The popcorn was the only thing keeping him awake. At that point, he fell asleep and snored loudly through the remainder of the film. At one point, people were trying to wake him up from the seats behind me by kicking a seat to no avail. I think it would take a lot more than the kicking of a mild child to wake up this hill giant.
Wow.
When the movie was over, he rose up and just walked right back out of the theater. He had seen very little of it.
Man, I cannot imagine. I mean, honestly, the thing that gets me the most is paying to go see a movie and then just falling asleep.
I mean, here's the thing. That's the one spot where I'm kind of with this guy. Though eating popcorn with your mouth open is a sin I can't forget. I don't know why they still sell in theaters. It's the worst possible theater food. Actually, I do know the history of that, but we don't have time for that nonsense. But I'm an old tired dad, and there are points where I'm like, oh my God, do I get to be alone in a movie theater in air conditioning for 3 hours? I am bringing a fucking blanket. That's my own private time to do with as I please, and God damn it if I don't want to be asleep.
Yeah, but if that's what you want to do, don't go see Endgame opening weekend.
That's definitely true. You go see it the last weekend when they're still scraping up a couple of bucks.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyhow, there you go. That's my report.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us here on this super big long episode of Movie Mastery. We will, of course, be back in another couple weeks with more. And if you want to, you can go on to systemmasterypodcast.com, go to the Movie Mastery tab in theaters now, and you can vote for the next thing that we'll go see.
Oh, yeah.
I know when it comes out, we're going to have to go see Sonic. So, Jesus.
When does that? That's not for months.
No.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Next month has probably got something that we're going to see. I can't think of what it would be.
Yep. So, anyway. Go on there. The poll will be up.
Oh, God. It's the X-Men. Oh, wait. That'll be in June. In June.
Anyway.
Sorry.
It'll be there.
Yeah.
You can vote. You'll see what it is.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.